Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's all stand together as we read the first couple of verses here. These verses are nothing new to you. I know you've heard them. We're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 11 here in a minute as well, but this is the verse we're going to start with, and I'll have you sit down after that. But this is not a new verse. These are not new scriptures to you. You've heard them before, but I want you to think about them maybe a little bit differently. We as Christians in our life growing older, we need to understand that we ought not always to look for necessarily the meaty things of life. Sometimes I believe this verse can pertain to us that have been saved for a while, that have served the Lord for a while. And I believe sometimes it's good just to get back to basics. Sometimes we look so hard for nuggets in the Scripture that give us a deeper truth or a deeper meaning. Honestly, I think that ruins a lot of folks. They get away from the truth of how simple God is. And as we read these verses, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside," now I want you to notice that that's laying, not laid, or I've already done that, it's laying, "your life is going to be filled with trying to get rid of these things. Laying aside all malice." How much malice? All malice. And all guile. How much guile? All the guile. "And hypocrisies and envies," and how many? "Evil speakings." Now understand this, I'm not telling you that you are able to do this right after salvation. The Bible says, "Behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, old things are become new." But they become new, but you're still a sinner. And that's why I think it's good for us to cling to the sometimes the very simple things to maybe try to keep our lives a little bit straight. The next verse says this, "as newborn babes." Now does it say you're a newborn babe? It says "as newborn babes." Sometimes we need to look at things in a little bit simpler fashion, amen? "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may" what? "That ye may grow thereby." We can grow with the word of God, amen? "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now I want to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 11 very quickly. But I want you to think a little bit this morning, or this evening now, it's evening now, but this evening, on looking towards a better country. Looking towards a better country. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Myers, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to have to clarify myself a little bit better because there's more than one Myers in this place. And when Josh changes his last name over to Myers, we're going to have to go ahead and change it again. Praise the Lord. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. I love this chapter. I love this chapter because the people in it were sinners. Not the miraculous things that they did, although that's very neat. But just the simple fact that the people mentioned in this passage are sinners. And if you look through these people, they're amazing people that God used in a great and wonderful way. And as we get to this verse 13, we see this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. The new country outweighs the old. I love to think about heaven. You know that about me. I love to think about heaven and the things that are waiting for us. We think about going to beautiful places around this planet, like Hawaii was my favorite place ever. We went to Naples, Florida, beautiful there. But that is nothing compared to what heaven is waiting for us. You know, the Lord has taken a long time preparing a place for us. And I believe that place is going to be just beyond compare. It's going to be unbelievable to be there. And that's what we look for. We look towards those type of things. We look towards that heavenly home that we've got waiting on us. But realistically, we're here. Amen. We're here. We've got thunderstorms. We've got cold during the winter. We've got snow. We've got everything that you don't like sometimes. But understand this. This is where we are. Now, if you look at this as a spiritual aspect, you must understand something, that the people that they're talking about here realize that they were strangers and pilgrims in this place. You must realize as a Christian that you too are a stranger and a pilgrim in this place. A lot of times we just don't feel like we belong here. And if you're being a Christian, you feel like you don't belong here sometimes. The way that these things are going on, the way that the world is going on, sometimes you feel like you don't belong here. Many of you know my testimony. My testimony was an 11-year-old boy. I got saved at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in front of an old green register. You know that I got saved there. Ron Brown was preaching. I don't even know if Ron Brown's in the ministry anymore. But I do know this. That day, my life changed. That day, I was a saved boy. That day, I went from being lost to being found. That day, I was a stranger and a pilgrim. That day, my life was very, very different. That day, I knew that heaven was going to be my home and hell was not going to be my home. That day, the world became different to me. That day, I saw things differently than I had seen them the day before. In our lives, we must come to an understanding that if you're a saved person, you're in this room under the sound of my voice, this world should be different to you. We are strangers and pilgrims in a land that we don't understand. We're strangers and pilgrims in a land that is not the heavenly home. We're strangers and pilgrims in a land that Jesus Christ has asked us to work and do service. We're strangers in a land that Jesus has put us upon so we can do things for Him to introduce more strangers and more pilgrims to that heavenly country that's waiting on them if they'll just accept Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. If you look at these things, verse 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." We understand that as an 11-year-old boy, I got saved, my life changed. However, I did not change my life. It's so simple in this day and age. And I'm going to give you my heart. I'm concerned. I'm concerned even in my life sometimes that I get so full of myself that I forget the simple things of God. I get so full of myself wanting the next great message or the next great thought or the next great nail to drive home. I look so much diligently in the Scripture to find something wonderful, sometimes forgetting about the sincere milk of the Word. Not like 1 Peter said, laying aside all the things in our life and all the things that plague our lives and all the things that seem to be used among Christianity today, laying all those things aside. Why? To seek God in a very simple way. God's not complicated. You know, folks try to make it so difficult to get saved. They try to make it so hard to get saved. They try to make it so much full of work. I promise you, it has nothing to do with the work. The work is a process that we go into after we get saved because we know that we've got a heavenly country looking forward to, not this country that we reside in today. Although I'm excited that I live in America. I'm excited that I live in America and I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death because I've got babies coming up in this place. I'm scared to death that I've got people being raised in this place right now that succumb to it, succumb to the things around it. And I got to be honest with you, I worry sometimes that we don't look forward anymore. I sometimes worry that we don't think about the heavenly things, think about how wonderful heaven is. I know I joke a lot about heaven and I talk a lot about heaven, but understand this, heaven really is a place where there's no more tears. That's a simple thing. You know, heaven is really a place where there's no more suffering. Heaven is really a place where there's no more sorrow. Heaven really is a place where there's no more backbiting and all the evil guile and malice and all the... Heaven is a place where none of that stuff exists anymore. And as Christians, we ought to be looking forward to that heavenly place. Why? If you look back in Peter, I won't take you there. Why? We should desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby, helping us to be able to see better. Sometimes we get ourselves, and I never forget, boy, I tell you, I had a friend of mine come through here and so excited about being saved. Man, I would to God we were excited about being saved. The things of this earth would grow strangely dim if we were really saved. I mean, really saved. I mean, they're saved, and then there's really saved. They're saved, and then it takes a hold of you every day. They're saved and then there's realizing that you've got heaven coming. They're saved and then you've got this. See, we don't have that a lot of times. We get all wound up in this world. We get so upset and so mad and so irritable with this world. But this world is not our home. The boy came through and he said, I'm so excited about being saved. What book can I read? Let me think. Well, I handed him the Bible. I don't need to have... Can I name some of our own people? This will make you raise your eyebrow, maybe. I don't need Dr. Gray's book. I don't need Dr. Al Lacey's book. Is that making you mad? I don't need the books that men have written. I only need one book. Is that too simple? You know how many men get messed up because they can't get their nose out of somebody else's book? And they won't get their nose in God's book? I'm trying to be simple tonight. I'm trying to get to a position where we realize that we're strangers and pilgrims in this land. How many in here have been saved 30 years or more? Praise the Lord. How many in here have been saved more than 40 years? How many in here have been saved more than 50 years? Grandma, you're never going to put your hand down, honey. How many of you have been saved and then dirt came? Listen. I want you to see this very quickly. All these died in faith. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Look at this now. And truly, look at this. This is intriguing to me, and I want to give you a little bit of hope tonight. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. 11 years old, I got saved. I lived like the devil from then on out. Till about 17, 18 years old, the Lord got a hold of me, and you know what I went through. But anyhow, that's not the point. The point is, this Bible's telling me that I will have opportunity to go back. I want you to think with me. We have opportunity to go back to the life that we once led. You know, I've got to be honest with you. I am fairly impressed with Christians today who stay Christians. I am fairly impressed. Let me tell you, I'm not going liberal here, but in this day and age, in this world, where nothing's wrong anymore, I'm pretty impressed with Christians that stay Christian. Amen. I'm pretty impressed with people that won't partake in the first part of 1 Peter, their chapter 2, where they're doing their best to lay aside all those things so they can desire the sincere milk of the Word. Let me help you out a little bit. If you won't lay aside those things mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, you won't get to the sincere milk of the Word. Anyhow, it's impressive to me for a Christian who have a chance to return to that life. Let me tell you something. I take this for what it's worth. I loved alcohol. I can't lie to you. People that do it love it. Don't sit there and say, oh, I hate this. I hate this. If you hated it, you wouldn't do it. Don't be stupid. It's very easy for a person to go back to that life. You tell me, preacher, that you couldn't go down right now to the store, pick you up some Labatt's, and have it in your car and drink it just like you did back then. You tell me you can't. See, physically, he could do it. It's possible. That life is there. There it is. You can take it. You can go back to where you were. You can really take it and go back. But if you seek another country, if you seek another place, if you seek another home, if you seek something to set out in front of you by Jesus Christ, you won't go back, even if you've got the opportunity. What's important to me is to watch faithfulness. I'm going to be honest with you. I get so sick and tired of hot shots. I really do. I get so sick and tired about hot shots that when they go to the toilet, they don't stink no more. You know, I got to be honest with you. That's very, very difficult for me because I've been in toilets after hot shots. They stink just like everybody else. I get sick of that thought process where we're better than we really are. I get sick of that process where we get to the point where we don't desire the sincere milk of the word anymore because we forgot that we came out of that country. We forgot that we're supposed to be a new creature. We forgot that we're not supposed to act the way we used to act. We're not supposed to do the things we used to do. We're supposed to come out of there. But I tell you what, you can go back. I've seen it. Oh, not in this room, preacher. Believe me, I've seen it. I've seen people that have had this life and they had it all wound up and they had everything right and they had everything going forward. And I don't know if they stopped seeking another country or they got away from the Lord or they stopped desiring the sincere milk of the word. But I've got to be honest with you. If you'd be honest with me, that life for you back then was comfortable. Well, this ain't going to tickle ears tonight. I mean, I haven't tickled your ears in months. I'm concerned because I'm worried these teenagers got nobody to look to. Why? Because you're doing the things from the old country. I'm concerned, and by the way, it's not that these kids are ever going to be above it. Every single kid in this room's got the opportunity to fail if they just take it. Every person in this room's got the opportunity to fail if they just take it. I would to God you'd be honest with yourself and realize it's your responsibility not to fail. It's your responsibility to seek a new country. It's your responsibility to come out of that. It's your responsibility to start to do right. It's your responsibility to do these things. It's your responsibility. Don't look around the room. I'm concerned because it's hard to find people of faith anymore. Man, you know how fortunate we are in this church? We've got people like Brother Carl. I'll say which he hates this. That's why I do it. We've got folks like Brother Carl who got saved right after Grandma Sue. Grandma Sue, wonderful, lady of the faith. You say what you want to say. She's mean sometimes. So are you. She's only mean to the people she loves. She must love everybody. So we look at these. We look at these folks. No, listen. I look at these folks and I enjoy watching Brother Carl come to church. He's looking for a different country. He doesn't want to go back to that other country. Everybody in this room would understand if Brother Carl didn't come. Everybody in this room would understand if Brother Carl lacked a little bit here and there because he's getting older, maybe don't feel so good. But that's not what he wants. You know how impressive that is in this day and age to have a Christian stick with it? Huh? See, this is a Sunday night crowd. There's a lot of sticker-withers in here. There's a lot of people in a Sunday night crowd that they want to seek that other country. They desire for something better. They desire to have the right things. They desire to want to do the right paths. They desire, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm commending you on a Sunday night crowd. I'm commending you because you are few and far between. I'm commending you because the faithfulness of America today is lacking. I'm commending you because the faithfulness of Christianity is sometimes shallow. I'm commending you because I'm watching people around me fall to the wayside, yet here you are. Aren't you glad you came tonight because you're getting all these wonderful accolades? But you can go back. See, that's why we've got to worry. That's why we've got to be concerned. I'm not asking you to look around the room. I'm asking you to look in the mirror. I'm worried about people today that are falling off to the wayside because they have an opportunity to do so. Because they have an opportunity to go back. They have an opportunity to seek that other country. They have an opportunity. By the way, Christianity is hard. Read the chapter that we're talking about right now in Hebrews. All these died looking for another country. All these died without the malice, without the guile, without the hypocrisies, without the evil speakings. All these died looking for Jesus Christ. All the not having obtained the promise, looking forward to it afar off. These men said, I'm going to be faithful. Looking for another country. Tired of the status quo. Tired of not living a sincere milk of the word life. It's amazing. A lot of preachers, I read that verse. I'm telling you right now, a lot of preachers preach it. Eventually, you got to get off the milk. That has merit. It really does. There's got to be a day when you lay aside some of the simple things. But I got to be honest with you, there ought to be a day when you hold on to them too. Amen. There ought to be a day that you realize that you're a sinner. It should impress you a little bit, not too much as pride, but it's got to impress you a little bit that you're in church tonight. Well, thunderstorm was coming. I had nothing better to do. There's always a thunderstorm coming here. Do you know how impressive it is that you came to church? Do you know how impressive it is that you want to serve Christ in any fashion? In this world. In this place. Well, good Lord, we've got Obama as president. We still got people in the pews. I'm going to tell you right now, I worry about our country and I worry about our people because the opportunity comes along and they take it to go back to where it was fun, to go back to where it was easy, to go back to where they can do what they want, to go back to that old country. I challenge you tonight, don't go back to the old country. Look forward to the new. It's great because how you live your life is not contingent on you going to the new country. It's how he lived his life and you accepted him. See, that's sincere milk of the word. That's easy stuff. That's simplicity. One of the scariest things to this preacher is when preachers start to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. You want to mess up a church in a hurry? Start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Start talking about how, well, I'm a preacher, or I'm a teacher, I'm an evangelist, I'm an otter, I'm a lion. You start introducing these things to people, and they start thinking there's only one thing they can ever be. You know what? I got an idea. How about we just look towards Jesus Christ? Let's let him magnify the gifts that he gave you that you don't have, that he gave you, and let's look towards another country. Let's look towards another way. But did you know this too? I got to be honest with you, Michael, I don't know if you knew this or not. You may have known this because you seem to be a pretty smart kid at times. Did you know that you don't have it all figured out? Well, you said all that. Go get them, preacher. Teenagers, go get them. Okay, Miss Phyllis. Did you know that you don't have it all figured out? I'm going to tell you right now, I could come to every single one of you in this room and let you know that you don't have it all figured out. Well, that don't preach good. But it is truth, and it is simple. That's why we should look towards another country and forget about going back to the country from whence we came. I don't want to go back to the drinking days. I don't want to go back to those bad days. I don't want to go back to the days I wasn't serving Christ. I don't want to go back to the days where I was backbiting. By the way, let me help you out. I did a good amount of backbiting after I got saved and started preaching. What? You did backbiting as being a... I ruined a lot of lives. I changed a lot of people because I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Huh? Let me help you a little bit. Do you know that telling the truth isn't always necessary? You don't have to come up and tell me that I'm fat. Well, it's the truth, brother. It's not gossip if it's truth. It's still gossip. It's quieting the crowd. I want to take you back just for a moment. I buttered you up for a little while. But you know whatever always happens to the buttered up turkey, don't you? Go back. I know what happens in my house, I'll tell you that right now. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's what's great. You'll love this. I didn't have 1 Peter 2 verse 1 even planned for this evening. I got that right just before. You wish you'd have found that out so you could have left early. Praise the Lord. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes. What do you have to do to be as newborn babes? I want you just to see that the Bible's not a mistake here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, when I first started preaching, there were people that were here that I did not like. Can I be honest with you? Seriously, can I just be honest with you? You fire me if you want to. I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest because I want you to know that I too am a sinner. I know you know that, but that's a simple thing. A lot of preachers get messed up because they transcend sin. Not this preacher. I had a lot of malice because there are people in this church I didn't like. And I took the righteous indignation route. How many have ever took that train car? Ding, ding, righteous indignation, now leaving the station. Oh, I'm on that train. I'm going to bring you some righteous indignation, Buster. And let me tell you something. They may deserve what they're getting from you, but that doesn't make it right. I'll never forget the battles I had here with punk kids. They were punk kids. What I ceased to realize is I, too, was a punk kid. What I ceased to realize, Brother Michael, is that I didn't have it all figured out. Were they doing some wrong things? Yeah. But I got to be honest with you. So was I. And so are you. And I'm trying to get us back to thinking about being as newborn babes. There was a day, preacher, we talked about handing out pacifiers. Pacifier Sunday. Pacifier Sunday. Here, this is all for the baby Christians. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can pick the peach toilet paper if you'd like. Just don't leave the church over toilet paper. You know what you do with toilet paper. Anyways, so here we are. Here I am with malice. Did God ever ask me to have malice? Did God ever ask me to have hatred in my heart? Did God, look at these things now. Look at these things. I'm trying to get us back to babies. I look at all these babies. Do you know I got to hold Ian today? He looks just like Liam. Yeah. I remember my wife, boy, she babysitted Liam all the time. Cutest little thing in the whole wide world. He runs over. Does he call you Aunt Tammy? Aunt Tammy. Aunt Tammy, Aunt Tammy, Aunt Tammy. Run across. Cutest little thing you ever want to see. And my dog growled at him, almost killed him. Another reason to love that dog. It was the cutest thing in the whole wide world. Listen, why? Why? Because there's trust there. There's love there. There's hope there. There's no malice. There's no evil speaking. There's no guile in his mouth. Think about it. I'm trying to get you back to babies. Why? Because we can hurt each other. This should not be a message, but anybody but by the big guy. Let me tell you something. He brings this message all the time too. Why? Because he loves you. Hold on now. Hold on now. Wherefore, laying aside, how much again? All malice. If I'd have laid aside some malice years ago, if I would have laid aside, thinking that I didn't have it all figured out, if I would have laid aside some of this malice, some of those folks might still be here, serving God side by side. Look at this now. And all guile. The meanness, the jealousy and meanness, laying aside. Look at this. And hypocrisies. Well, I was full of them. I was full of them. Don't do this, and then I'd find myself doing something else. Amen? Look at this. And envies. You know, sometimes, you know, I wasn't really terribly envious. Okay, I really wasn't terribly envious. But it's amazing that even a little bit of that can get you crazy. See, I had all these things, all of these things. Evil speakings was my big one. I had all of these things back when I was living a life for the devil. Why would I bring them with me to live a life for God? Look at the next verse. As newborn babes. I don't think that's an accident. That doesn't fit there. I think it fits exactly there. I've got all these things. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. I wonder if sometimes we make the Bible so complicated that we get frustrated reading it. We get frustrated getting inside this book because not everything makes sense. I don't see in here where everything's got to make sense. Not everything makes sense to Liam, but what made sense is him running to my wife. What made sense was going to her. Why? Because she babysat him for a long time. He loves her. It made sense. It made sense. Why? Because it's simple. It made sense because he doesn't have evil speaking. He doesn't have that guile. He doesn't have that. He's a newborn babe. He's desiring love and desiring care and not caring about the world. All he cared about was what was important to him, and that was to find the love and affection of somebody that he cares about. It's amazing to me how newborn babes have a love for their mother that is different than any other love in the whole wide world. Newborn babes have this love, this care, this desire to be right there. They always seem to be the most content in the mama's arms. Tell me I'm wrong. And as we look at this, the father's love towards us is greater than a mother's love for a child, greater than anything that could ever possibly be. We have the ability to get rid of all these things and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That we may grow. I don't care how old you are in the faith. I don't care how many years you've been saved. I don't care what positions we hold. We should still desire the simplicity that is the love of Jesus Christ. We still should desire the simplicity that is of the Word of God, that sincere milk of the Word. What is amazing to me and where throughout history people have messed up is when they've tried to say, well, only the preacher can explain this book to me. No. Only the priest can explain this Word of God to me. No. Because I'm going to tell you, if a newborn babe can understand, so can you. If a newborn babe can have the desire of the word, the milk of the word, then we can too. That type of thing can be life-changing. That type of thing, going back to the simple. I'm telling you, almost everything I do, I want to keep simple. I have a horrible memory. Oh, you tell me something, you better tell me again 17 times. I'm not going to remember. I admit that right off the bat. If it's not on my top three priority list, I'm not going to pull it up later. People get mad at me all the time. But I don't remember. And you're going to say, well, bless God, it was important. It was important. It was important to you. It's going to make you mad. But the top three things on my priority list are more important than what you just brought me. I admit that. You got to work with me. You got to tell me what to do and how, when to do it. Because I won't remember. You can ask my wife. I won't remember. And the crazy thing about this life is we should desire the simplicity that is the Word of God. It's amazing to me. People come and say, you know what, I came in the morning service. I came in the evening service. I got to be honest with you, my cup wasn't filled. You know, I got a problem with that. Amen. You want me to tell you what my problem is? Why is your cup empty? Why is your cup empty? Why don't you come to church full, amen, and then we'll overflow you?
Amen. That's it.
Why do you come to church? Preacher, I haven't had Jesus all week. You're going to have to fix me. And if you can't fix me, then I'm out of here. Then you know what you did? You grew up too much. You know what you did? You don't desire the sincere milk of the word all anymore. You know what you did? You forgot to read that Bible. Let me tell you something. Babies don't forget to eat. Is that right, Brother Jordan? Is that right? Where's Brother Jack at? He was here a second ago. They must have went down the nursery. I guarantee you, Abigail gets hungry. What do? Huh? They what? If babies get hungry, they don't just eat. What kind of babies did you folks have? I've got grown children. And when they get hungry, they don't just eat. When they get hungry, they cry. They show you a desire to eat. They show you a desire to mommy, to whoever's got their food. I want to have some food. My babies were excellent. They were professional milk desirers. My son has switched to cheeseburgers. Still a professional. But in our lives, we're so busy with 1 Peter verse 1 that we never get hungry anymore. Oh boy, that's good. See, he was happy a second ago, but then I lowered that boom on you. We're so full of all the other things. Wait, let me explain something to you. This is what our cup is full of. Our cup is full of malice. Our cup is full of guile. Our cup is full of hypocrisies. Our cup is full of envies. Our cup is full of evil speakings. And because it's all full of those things, you can't desire the sincere milk of the word. There's no room. You should be looking towards heaven, realizing that in heaven, you may not have much to say. Why? Because there's no malice there. There's no guile there. There's no hypocrisy. Do you know why we speak badly of each other? Let me tell you why I did. Why I did this. I spoke badly of other people because I wanted other people to see me better than I was. By the way, that's the root of all of it. You can say what you want to say, but that's it. That's the end of it. That's the beginning and end of it. You want people to think better of you. So like if I talk about Michael, which isn't hard because there's a laundry list of problems sitting here. But, yeah, Josh has got it with him. But if I would go elsewhere to speak about Michael, it's because I want people to see Michael as bad and me as better than him. It's amazing. We don't tell on other people's problems that we have ourselves. Huh? We try to pick something new. Yeah, I don't do that. See, we come to this place in our lives where we take our focus off what God wants us to do and we put it elsewhere. Do you know how important it is that you're in church? Do you know how impressive it is that the devil didn't get you to stay home tonight? Do you know how impressive it is that you have the faith enough to want to hear something about God, that you want to see something about God? I just dare say you're looking forward to another country. I dare say that we've got our sights fixed on heaven. I dare say that I hope and pray it's not duty to be here. I hope and pray that it's desire to be here. Your Bible reading, your desiring the Bible should not be a duty to you. It should not be something that you have to do. It should be something that you desire to do. It should be something that you want to do. It's amazing to me that sometimes we take our focus off of heaven and put it on this old world, thinking that the world's got more to offer us than heaven does. I've got to be honest with you. We need more folks to stay faithful, to stay true to God, to stay those things. Why? Because we've got a generation coming behind us that need to know that there's another country, that need to know that there's something better, that need to know that there's something worth leaving behind, that they need to know that there's pilgrims and there's sojourners in this land. They need to know that there's a reason to be good. They need to know that there's a reason to be right. And it's not so they can prove to everybody that they're right. It's because the life over here in this country is better. We have opportunity to go back, but it sure is a blessing when we don't. How don't we go back? How is it that we don't go back? I got three things. I'm all done. It's already after 7. I know you're mad. You don't go back to this country by remembering what this country really was. Not what you remember it to be, what you really remember it to be. Sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, nobody'd do it. So sin is fun. I remember the days of having alcohol. I remember those days, and I remember partaking of it, and I remember the good times and the laughter, and it's amazing sometimes how we stick on that. But what else was in this past? Heartache, pain, sickness, torment, hangovers, all these things. We forget those things. Say, God, I wish I could go back. Think of the people that came out of Egypt. Oh, I wish we could go back. Food out here is terrible. I wish we could go back where there's garlic and onions and leaf. Who wants to go back and just eat that anyhow? But if you think about that, do you think they were giving slaves the good food? They forget about the making of bricks. They forget about the torture. They forget about the workload. They forget about being slaves and not being treated correctly. They look back to this country wishing they could go back here, but they forgot how hard it was, how bad it was, how not worth it was. Please, Lord, get us out. Lord, I wish we could go back. I don't want to go back to that life. I want to grow into a life that I'm looking forward to the kingdom of God. You better remember everything that happened back then. Don't leave out the bad parts. Don't leave out those things. It's more fun being a sinner. Sin is fun. But I'm going to tell you, it's got its payday every single time. Every single mile along the way, it's got its payday. Know all of the past. Look at, got to go back to Hebrews. Remember all of your past, number one. Number two, think of that better country, that better country is built by God. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We've got a lot of builders in this room. We can't build a house like God can. We got a lot of people, contractors in this room that know how to do stuff. Brother Mike, one of the greatest tile layers probably that ever lived. Brother Mike, you can't lay tile like God can. Can you imagine what your mansion's going to look like? I can't. Can you imagine what that great... See, to me, all the things that should ask us to remember a new country, all those things, you've got this to look forward to. We're only here for a short while. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We're only going to be here for a short time. While we're here, we should be looking towards heaven. We should be looking towards heaven with the realization that this world is not our home. And number three, don't forget. Look at John chapter 14 with me. Chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. A lot of troubled hearts in this world worries me. It worries me. God's still in control. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many sheds. Are many rooms. That's what the NIV says. I'm glad I got a King James Bible. Are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, preacher, I've heard that a million times. That's milk right there, brother. That's milk right there. That's milk right there, that the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us. That milk may have turned sour because you let it sit on the shelf too long, but let me tell you something right now. Let God bring that back to your remembrance. Let God put that in front of you to realize that this is not your stopping grounds. You eventually are going to get to go to heaven someday in a place that he's prepared for you, and he's been gone a long time. He's been up there working a long time to prepare a place. I bet you he did a pretty good job. I bet you it's a real pretty place to live. I bet you there's no complaining there, preacher. I bet you you're not worried about your next door neighbors there. You might be worried if you live down Preacher Lane. You may be worried about that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know this is a simple message, but if you look at those things, a lot of these people back in this faith had an opportunity to go back to their old lives. And by the way, you will too, if you haven't already. You will have an opportunity to go back to that place, to go back to that place. I'm telling you, don't take that opportunity. Look forward toward heaven. Look forward toward the greatness of heaven. Lay aside all those things that plagued you before. Lay aside all those things and look towards God. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Preacher preaches a great message, grow or die. If we're not growing in Christ, we are dying. There is no third direction. And I believe that the way to grow is to get inside His Word. Get inside His Word. I said get inside His Word and start to talk to Him. You say, well, I don't get anything out of it. That's because you're not putting anything in it. And I promise you, if you'll keep your eyes focused on what's coming, the things of this earth will go strangely dim. They'll grow strangely dim because you'll realize that Jesus loves you so very much. Oh, that's so simple. It is simple. He loves you. He desires you to desire Him. He needs you to need Him. And if we desire the sincere milk of the Word, the Bible tells me that we're going to grow. Keep it simple. Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this night. Lord, I know this message was not a barn burner. I know this message was not profound. This message was simple. But Lord God, I believe we try to make it too complicated at times. I believe we try to have this magnanimous plan. We try to put forward these amazing things. But God, the message is still simple. The message of salvation was never difficult. The message of faith was never difficult. The message of reading your word was never difficult. You gave us your word in a way that we could understand it. God, you're so very good to us. Lord, sometimes we get caught up in this old world. We get caught up in the things of the world, Lord, and we can't take our eyes off. Lord, sometimes we make it so complicated that, Lord, we get mired in it and wish sometimes that we had never even gotten saved. Sometimes, Lord, we wish that we'd never started going to church or we never started doing the things of God. And I believe with all my heart you gave me this message, Lord, so I believe that there's folks in here that maybe are feeling like that right now. Lord, challenge them. Let them look for that better country. Let them look for what's coming, not what's behind. Let us come to the realization that we've got it so much better serving you, so much better loving you. Lord God, don't let the fast lane of this world take us down. Lord, please help us. Help us as adults in this room. Help us as folks that have been saved for 30 years and 40 years. Help us, Lord, to look to you in a very simple way. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Lord, please let us remember the simple things. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I believe I'm speaking with a saved crowd, but I want to give you the opportunity. You know for sure, you know 100% sure that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? You may put them down. I'm just going to ask real quickly, is there anyone in here that doesn't know 100% sure? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Nothing to do with candles, nothing to do with a good life, nothing to do with cartwheels, nothing to do with beads, nothing to do with rosary, nothing to do with Mary. It's just getting saved. That's all. How many would like to do that? You know that you don't know. If you're going to heaven, you would like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? Would there be one that's not sure? They don't know that they're saved, but they would like to know. Would there be one? That means I'm speaking with Christians. It is so wonderful that you're here tonight. All the things in the world that we could be doing, glory to God, you're in God's house. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. Having opportunity not to be here, you chose to be here. That's faithfulness. That's what God wants. It's very simple. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. Thank you for doing what He's asked you to do. Now let's take a step forward and keep it simple with God. Love Him because He loves you. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to preach. Lord, please let this message not fall on deaf ears, but ears ready to hear. Lord God, please let us seek you out more. Let us not turn our backs on you and go back to that old country, but Lord, let us look forward to the new one. Lord, please help us. We've got the free will to choose. Let us choose you freely. Lord, please help us tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Which one are you singing, brother?
Number 17. Let's all stand together. The altar's open.